I'm here with Mayor Duke Bennett for Ask the Mayor. I'm Alex Eady, sitting in for Joe Wren. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great for you to be here, of course, but I love doing this. So we always enjoy doing this once a month, and it really gets a good message out.
Thank you. Okay, so let's just start with what's been in the news, and that is the location of the new jail. Mm-hmm. So we've been going through that process, if there will be a new jail, how it will be funded, etc. And now the big thing is where it will go. So we're back to the former International Paper site. Mm-hmm. So some aren't too fond of that spot, and they don't like that spot in particular. So I guess, what are your thoughts on it, and how do you see it?
Well, I guess the most important thing to me is we need the new jail to be located in the city limits somewhere, or close proximity to the center of our community, because of travel time. You know, when we arrest somebody, one of the options they'd considered was the industrial park way at the south side of town, and it would add probably an hour, it would be, versus probably normally 10 or 15 minutes, it would be about an hour. So you're adding probably 40 to 45 minutes on each trip to take somebody to jail. That won't work very well for us. And so I've made that known from the very beginning. So far the commissioners have really only talked about two specific locations, one being across or on the river, if you will. It's not directly on the river, but along Prairie Road near the river and across from the Aquatic Center and then the Industrial Park. And so what's happened is the original time they filed with the city council to rezone that property so a jail could be built there. Then they decided to pull that, partially because of opposition from the council. And then number two, they just really didn't have the funding in place. I think there was a variety of reasons. So now they've come back and refiled to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals instead of the city council. And so that's created some consternation with some folks who say, now wait a minute, the first time it was the council, now it's Board of Zoning Appeals. And so what I've asked is for the county to give, I'd like to see a legal opinion from an outside attorney who's an expert in zoning and local ordinance, somebody who does this every day, just to come in and tell us which path is the right path to follow. So that if the city does rezone or provide a variance for the property, that we know that's on good legal standing. So that's kind of where we're at, I guess, is what's happened in the last week. And that's all I'm asking for, is just to cover all of us to know that that is the right approach to take from a legal perspective.
Yeah, so you mentioned the concerns that are coming up from a lot of people in the public. So I guess, do you hear the people's concerns, and do you...
Both. You know, so I hear people who say the site is perfectly fine, they think it's a great site, and then other people say, no, let's save that for some recreational type use. And you know, that's really up to the petitioner. The county owns the property, so they're wanting to do it for this. The convincing needs to be done on that county side to say, pick another piece of property. The city's not going to get involved in that part, but we're always going to back the property that's going to be in the city limits, because once again, we go back to transportation costs and time and efficiencies.
Sure. And I'm reminded that most cities have jails downtown off of the square, mm-hmm. such as the current jail. So do you think that there's kind of a happy medium spot that will make everyone happy?
You know, I don't know. I think the county looks at it that they don't want to buy. The cost is already going to be significant. And so what I've heard is they don't want to spend extra money to buy another piece of property. So I guess if they make the decision or willing to spend some funds, and I think the community may be supportive of that, then they probably could consider some other options. But right now they're kind of looking at the two that they own the land, so they wouldn't have to pay anything for it. That's the conversation piece that has to happen with those that are opposed to that site with the county, to say, let's look at another option, and they need to be able to be willing to say, we'll support you, knowing it's going to cost more money to do this.
Okay. A federal judge ordered a proposed timeline by October 15th for the new jail, just to show the progress due to the overcrowding lawsuit. So I guess, will everyone be able to work together to see this through?
It would seem as though the county is moving at a faster pace now. I think we would all agree with that here locally. The funding mechanism has been established formally. Now they really just need to kind of pick the site and finish the design. And so I would think they would have a good report to go back to the judge with here in another week. But I think everybody wants some resolution to this. And so I think they've just got a couple little final pieces that they have to do to make this a reality. And the location is a big one.
Okay. Now, how's the convention center progress moving along? Is there any update with
that?
Yeah,
we're working on design right now. So we're looking to see where can it fit exactly downtown. We've looked at two or three different spots, and I think we've got a preferred spot that we're not putting out to the public quite yet because we need to do our due diligence on that. We're looking at what utilities would have to be relocated and a variety of other things and say, okay, is this the best optimum spot at the least cost for us to build it? I would say we're on track to start construction in the spring. So things are moving along very quickly, and we'll be rolling much more out to the public as soon as we make some final decisions.
Okay. And how is the construction with Margaret Avenue?
It's going very well. So the bottom line is, as long as we don't have a wet fall, if we don't have a whole lot of rain, we should be able to get the overpass open in that stretch of Margaret Avenue in December. But, you know, every day that goes by that that we may have any bad weather could set that back. And so I'm optimistic we can do December, but it's all weather dependent. But it's going well.
Okay. So what's the next steps in moving through the city budget for next year? So on this show, there's been discussions in other cities about salary ordinances, and that's no different here. I guess in the Trib Star, they reported that the budget is healthy enough to support raises. So what are the details with that? But if you want to start with the budget for next year.
Well, so this Thursday night, this week, we will the budget will be in front of the council for approval. I'm not expecting any significant changes to it at all. We've got great feedback from the council so far. It's a balanced budget overall. It'll be the fourth straight year of a balanced budget for the city of Terre Haute, which I'm very happy and excited about that. We anticipate getting a little bit more revenue next year because our assessed values have gone up a little bit, but we don't have that built into the budget right now. And so if there are extra dollars, that's even on top of that will help us be able to build some reserves, basically. The budget does have some small increases for salary for both union and non-union, but we're still negotiating union contracts, so I can't talk about that publicly, but we hope to do a small raise. We haven't been able to do one for several years, and so this budget will support that even without that additional income we believe we're going to get, which we won't find out what that is until after the budget's approved.
So you said you haven't been able to do this for several years. Do you
about
know?
About four. Okay. Yeah, about 4 years.
I see. And does this include yourself and other elected officials?
No, the elected officials won't be getting anything. The salary ordinance reflects that right now, but we're going to be making those changes on Thursday because they kind of just applied it to everybody. But as from what I'm hearing, and I won't be, but what I'm hearing from everybody else, they won't either. So it'll just be the line staff.
Okay. So right after we left last month, City Council approved bonds to fund wastewater improvements. But this comes with no added taxes to residents,
right?
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they approved up to $70 million of bonding. We're only going to bond out what we need. So when the projects are bid in a few months, we'll know exactly what the bids are for, and that's how much we'll actually close the bonds at, just right at that number. And so I feel really good about that. First of all, I thank the council for being supportive of the process. It's something we have to do. And so we got that behind us. But the rate increases that we've put into the past were already reflective of these projects. And so there won't need to be any tax increase or sewer rate increase to support phase two of our long-term control plan, which includes those projects.
Okay. And now also the city of Terre Haute wants part of its downtown to become a cultural district. Mm-hmm. And we learned that you work with other city leaders to get this process rolling. So I guess what's needed in order to get this process off the ground?
Well, there's a lot of things that you have to do to lay the groundwork for this. And I know probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe it was the first attempt to look and say, are we in a position to apply for this district? We weren't. And then I think a couple of years later it was that we kind of reviewed ourselves and where we were at. So you've got to meet some criteria. I think we're there now, and the community believes we're at that point. And the key to this really is the arts play a huge role from an economic development perspective. They absolutely do. We've done a lot of things here locally. Some things funded by the government, but the majority of things funded by private dollars. If we're able to get this designation, that's going to open the door up for a lot more grant opportunities down the road that we can match those private dollars up with grant money and be able to do so many more things. And so that's what's exciting to me is, one, we're in a position to be qualified for this particular grant, and then two, the benefits are just going to be tremendous. So what we've been able to do so far is amazing, but what we can do with even more funding will open up a lot of doors for us. And it comes back to quality of life, quality of place. We've got to do everything we can to make Terre Haute a place that people want to be. And the arts segment, the arts environment here is awesome, but we can do so much more.
Yeah. And so what will be some of those benefits that you foresee the community will?
It really just helps sell Terre Haute. So when we go around and look at the outdoor sculptures we have, you see the museums that we have, and the list goes on and on. This should open up doors now to be able to do even bigger and better things. And so it positions us well, not only for the short term, but the long term, that all these ideas that people have, a lot of them can become reality. And so it'll really be a pretty big designation for us. I think there's only about nine or 10 other communities in Indiana that have that designation, and we'd love to join that group.
Okay. And you feel it will help in grant funding down the road?
Yes. I mean, it provides some funding through the channels itself, but that designation kind of allows you to then apply for some things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do, or at least your resume is going to look so much better. And so that's what it's all about, is just building the community.
Okay. Now I want to get your take on something else. The scooter craze that seems to be hitting the state. It's now in Bloomington, and I'd be surprised if Terre Haute isn't next, especially with the college crowd here. So what are your first initial thoughts on that?
Oh boy. You know, I watched that Indianapolis rollout, which was kind of didn't go over really well. Now, I'm sure people are using them, but I've seen a couple of accidents reported lately, and I think it really changes the dynamics of things. So one, I'm all about alternative forms of transportation. So whether you're on a bike or a scooter, it is more dangerous to travel, though, because you're moving at a higher rate of speed and you don't have a lot of protection. At Bloomington, I really haven't heard what's happened now since they showed up, because that seems to be the way these things do, just they pop up overnight. And so we're going to have to deal with that from an ordinance perspective, just like every community has to. That's going to be a conversation that we're going to have publicly very soon. You know, I think it's okay, but it needs to have its parameters. And so let's see if Terre Haute does become part of that, with us being a college town and a downtown area that students use a lot. I could see that it probably the same thing, you're right, would happen here. And we need to be prepared to deal with that so everybody is safe. And they're not, you know, the sidewalks are crowded sometimes the way they are with bicycles or scooters added to the mix, you know, could be a real issue. So it's not only pedestrians, all the obstacles that are in the way. And so we just want it to be safe for whatever mode of transportation you have.
Yeah. And you mentioned ordinances. So some cities kind of jump on the regulation aspect early on, and others are kind of waiting to see how it unfolds. So how would you say?
I think it's both. So I think one is we've kind of looked and seen what other communities that have faced this have done. And most of the time it's been reactive, because you don't just go change ordinances in a short period of time. It takes a few months usually to go through that process. So one, we're following what's happening in other places. Two, we're probably going to have to be somewhat reactive depending on what happens here. And so I think we'll be ready to do that. That we'll be much quicker than some communities have been, just because we've done a little due diligence. We've just not put anything on paper yet and proposed it to the council.
Mm-hmm. But no talks with ISU just yet about?
No, you know, they're still kind of dealing with their bike plan that they had. You know, the company decided to pull out and take their bikes, but then the bikes decided to stay here for whatever arrangement they've made, and so they're looking for other options. You know, how that shakes out, I don't know, but you may have a mix of bikes and scooters at some point.
Okay. So what else are we missing? Is there anything else that we need to know, or something coming up that we should know about?
No, I just think it's that time of the year where we're kind of winding things down. You know, we're doing a lot of paving right now. We want to get Margaret Avenue finished. But we're kind of getting towards the end of the construction cycle here. Probably by the end of next month, we'll wrap all that up. And so it kind of makes you feel good about what you've accomplished, but then it's time to start planning for next year already. So I don't think anything particular new. You know, Lafayette Avenue project will be huge next year. When we start that, I'm not sure yet. Depends on when NDOT bids that out, but that'll be a big significant project. We'll get Margaret Avenue open, as I said, and may have to do some finish work in the spring on that, but we'll just be doing a lot of paving and those kind of things. So that's what we're really trying to strategize now. What will we get done this year and what needs to carry over to next year? We're working on financing for our police station, so that'll be a project that we'll be talking about for next year, and the convention center we mentioned earlier. So there things are lining up to be a pretty significant year for us in 2019.